Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. Except today I'm going to do something slightly different. First of all, I'm joined by my girlfriend Juliana. Say hello, Juliana.
Hello.
And so what we're going to be doing today is talking about the project that I started back in April where I decided, hey, look, there's lots of books that won two big awards, the Hugo Award and the Nebula Award, one book winning both awards. One is the Hugo Award is obviously a fan-voted or reader-voted award, which is awarded every year at the Worldcon, which is the World Science Fiction Convention, and the Nebula Award is voted for by, I think it's a Science Fiction Writers of America Association group.
But it's both science fiction awards.
Science fiction and fantasy. Yeah. So science fiction fantasy awards, both voted. So both a popular vote. One is by reader popular vote and one is by writer, other science fiction writers.
Okay, that vote. Sounds pretty cool. So, since when are both of these in states? Since
well, okay, when? So the Hugo Awards have been going since, let me check earlier, 1953 was the first one. Then they had a break and then another one in 1955. So they've been going quite a long time. And then there's some retro awards where they look back and go, okay, let's pick out some books which were released in 1946. And, you know, so it's like every 5 years or every 3 or 4 years, I'll do a retro award and say people now can vote for the retro awards, which means that they don't actually really count. They're not really awards because they got the books that win or the dramatic presentations. There was a retro award given this year and it's like, what's the dramatic presentation? It's like, well, it's this one, this radio show written by Orson Welles, or this radio show written by Orson Welles, or this radio show written by Orson Welles, or this, you know, it's all just like the classic, what we now think of as classic science
it's
fiction.
It's more like an honorable,
yeah, it's like an award for still people remembering it 50 years later, okay, or 60 years later, or it's still being famous that many years later. And then the Nebula Awards, I think they started around about 1966 or 65, and the first book which won both the Hugo Award and the Nebula Award was Dune back in 1966. And I think I mentioned it before on an episode where I was reviewing, not Dune, but I think I reviewed a different book, and I was saying back in 1966 there was actually a tie for the Nebula Awards, and in the same year was a tie for the Hugo Awards. So in 1966,
so like four books,
there was four books won either a Nebula Award or a Hugo Award in 1966.
That's pretty cool.
Yep, and so Dune was the first, what I came to define as the Hugo Award. So a Hugo Award-winning book is one book which won both the Hugo Award and the Nebula Award. Not for the same author, but for the same book. It's not always in the same year. So, for example, I think some of them, Dune won the 1966 Hugo Award, but the 1965 Nebula Award.
Oh, so I understand. So yeah. It's like they don't need to get them in the same year, but they need to get them both.
Both
probably after the
but
other.
They can only ever be nominated for one at any one time. I think that's the point.
Okay.
So I thought, well, back in April I was like, hey, I looked through and I realized I've read quite a lot of these books before, but there was a few books that I hadn't read before, and I'd reviewed quite a few books already for the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast, and other books that I hadn't read, you know, I hadn't read at all and hadn't reviewed, of course, because I've not read them yet. But there's a few books that I'd read before starting the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast, but never really had a reason to read them again, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And then you just went through the list and looked up.
Yeah, I pretty much read, went, okay,
what
yeah.
you already reviewed.
What I already reviewed. So any book that I'd already reviewed, I didn't go back and review again, except for, it turns out, Ender's Game, but only because we watched the movie and
did a special...
Yeah, it was... So I'm not really counting that one in there, because yes. I didn't actually reread Ender's Game again, even though you read the Ender's Shadow... And I listened to the Ender Alive audio play version, or tried to. We watched the movie and we talked about other stuff as well. So the reason I did this, well, there's two reasons. One, I thought, hey, there's these books which have won two awards, you know, some of the, you know, multi-award winning science fiction fantasy books. Surely they can't be too bad. So let's check it out. And there's probably some really good books in here which I've just never got round to reading. And I'll read them and probably find some new favorite books or new interesting books to read.
That's a fun idea and a fun project,
I think. Could have been a fun project. Could have been a fun project. So that was one test to see like how valid. But also another thing that I've mentioned before is that I really don't respect awards. I'm not saying I don't respect books that win awards, but the whole point is that our Hugo Awards and our Nebula Awards a real indication of what to read, or is just general recommendations a better way? Like are book lists or are not so much book lists, but are awards lists a good starting point for getting into science fiction, or are they a good continuing reading science fiction? Like you have a list, which book should I read off the Hugo Award winning books first? Well, you think I'll read the ones which also won the Nebula Award. It sounds like a good thing. There's 26 books in that list. How good could they be?
And also it sounds as if it could be quite objective. You know, it's like it's not only one person saying, oh, I like this book, I like that book. It is a few people voting for it and a few other
sets of people. Yeah,
yeah, but and other science fiction authors where you think, oh, well, they have they know what to look for. They know what it is about to write science fiction books. And then on the other hand, of course, the Hugo is the one voted by the fans.
Yeah, the fan award is the Hugo Award. Yeah,
you have on the one hand, you have fans voting, and on the other hand,
yeah.
So you think it could be quite objective.
It's a broad appeal. Like,
yes.
Not so much just objective, but like you'd think these should stand the test of time. These should be held up as great books. So that was the thing. Like, first of all, the experiment was, will I find books to read, or will I find interesting books to read? And also, another thing that I thought would be an interesting thing is like, if there's a book which isn't very good, it kind of gives me an excuse to review it. Like, because there were some books, like the Doomsday book, which I started and didn't finish, and like American Gods, which I started and didn't finish. I was like, now it gives me like a better reason to, instead of just going, it's not really a book for me, but to stick with it and to do a review of the book as well.
Yes.
So those were the goals. Find new good new books. See if a Hugo Nebula, Hugo Awards, or book award lists, you know, book what I'm trying to say, like novel award winning books, is that a good place to find new books to read? And also new discussions for the Science Fiction Book Review podcast.
And is it?
Well, let's go through the numbers, because this is what I was going to do. So I started off, and there was quite a few books that I'd already read before I started this. There was quite a lot of the classics, and again, these are books I read just because I either read them before or just wanted to get to them, or they're generally considered classics outside of winning a Hugo and Nebula.
So you didn't pick them in the first place?
I didn't pick them in the first place because I'd already read them.
Yeah. But,
and even like this year, Ancillary Justice won the Hugo, is a Hugo Award winner book, you know.
But you read it before?
But I read it before it was nominated, okay, and before it had won any of those. It was just because people said, hey, this is a good book. This is an interesting book. It's fun space opera science fiction. You should read it. And I did. And I didn't read it because it's a Hugo Award winner. I just happened to have read it.
Okay. So, but apart from this quest that you went through, did you ever pick a book that won the Hugo or the Nebula Award, and that made you thinking, oh, I should read that?
Yes, there was once I was, and this was early on in the Science Fiction Book Review podcast, and it was a book called, let me look it up here, Robert J. Sawyer, Hominids, and I remember because I was down in...
I remember one of the big rants.
Yeah, you listened to that one, and I gave it 1 star, and I was on painkiller drugs because I had this trapped nerve in my spine, and I was down in Buenos Aires, and I'd missed a flight, or I'd been turning, and I was in this weird emotional state, really, really weird, and I did this review, and the reason I did this, because I went along to... This was before I had an ebook reader, you know, before I read books on my iPod Touch, and before I had an iPad, you know, I wasn't reading ebooks. So all of the books that I was having had to be paper books. And I went into a secondhand bookshop in Buenos Aires and was like, there wasn't a big science fiction section, but what there was, and there was this one book, and it was like Hugo Award winner. And that was probably one of the first times I'd ever, like, thought, I will read this book. The reason I'm picking this book up is because it says Hugo Award winner on the front of it.
Okay.
And I read it, and it was awful. It was one of the worst books that I'd read so far in the entire Science Fiction Book Review podcast up until that point.
I had fun listening to that podcast.
You actually listened to that one.
That is
actually the podcast that Jesse and Scott from the SFF Audio podcast noticed me for the first time and first mentioned me. I said, "Oh, this is a great thing because Jesse is Canadian." And I worked out, of course, the reason why he won the Hugo Award for that year is because the WorldCon was in Toronto, and he was a Canadian author and was the guest of honor there at that convention. And of course, like, the Canadians are going to go, we'll vote for
this. People just voted the Canadian author.
Yeah. But he is not just slightly Canadian. He is extra Canadian. Like, all of his books are like, yeah, Canada, yay, Canada. Okay. And when I did a review of The Calculating God, another one of his books, which I think I only gave 1.5 stars to, instead of using my normal theme music, which is some little bit of music that I wrote for myself 10 years, 15 years ago. Actually, back when I was at college, I think I wrote that music and recorded that music for the first time. I instead used the Canadian national anthem to start it off, because his books are just so Canadian, it's unbelievable. I'm not saying,
but
that
is it like a good insight into Canada and Canadian
people? Well, not really,
Canadian
because it's
people.
Not even, it's just that he writes Canada. I don't want to get too much into this, but I do know that there are other books which have won the Hugo Award for that reason, and I'm not saying these are bad books necessarily. For example, Neil Gaiman's The Graveyard book won the Hugo Award, but it just so happened that he was the guest of honor at that WorldCon. So a lot of his fans were like, hey, let's go to this WorldCon. It was his fans who were buying tickets to that convention.
To support him.
Well, to meet him, because he was the guest of honor. He'd do a talk, he'd be on panels, they could get stuff signed for him, meet him, shake his hand. It's a good example. So of course his fans are going to turn up there, and of course then he wins the Hugo Award. I'm not saying that it's a bad book. I'm not saying any book that has won the Hugo is a bad book. I'm just saying that winning the Hugo, there are many ways to win the Hugo Award, and I guess the Nebula Award. I don't know so much about the Nebula Award, because it's not a fan voted, it's author voted.
It's nebulous.
So yes, it's a bit more nebulous.
Did you get that?
Yes,
joke?
It's a very good joke. Very good. Well done. And I think it's a bit more political, because the authors are like, hey, you vote for me this year, and when you bring a book.
This is kind of weird, because you're voting for other authors' books.
Yeah.
Can you vote for your own books?
I'm not sure if you can vote for your own book, but you might as well be sometimes, because if you don't have a book out that year, nobody needs to vote for you, but you can just say, I'll vote for you, remind me. I don't know. It's only
behind the scenes, authors go to each other, hey, I voted for you this year, you will have to vote for me next year.
I don't want to say that happens. Maybe rumors would say that. I really don't know. So anyway, what I'm going to do now is actually go through some of these numbers. So there's 26 books, and I'd actually read 13 of the books before. Let me put it this way. I'd reviewed 10 of the Hugo award-winning books before. So I actually had to, reread quite a few more Hugo project. I had to reread some books that I've read before
Review them here on the
podcast. Review that, even though I'd read them before, and four of them I'd read before, and that happened to be Speaker for the Dead. I'd read that before and really enjoyed it, so we gave that one 4 stars. Star-Tide Rising, I'd read that one before, reread that one for Hugo Award, gave it 4 stars. Fountains in Paradise, did you read that one as well with me?
No, I don't know that one.
It was Rendezvous with Rama that you read with me, wasn't it? So anyway, that's Arthur C. Clarke, which I'd read before. And then Ringworld by Larry Niven, 2 stars, which I reread for this project and reviewed for the first time for this project. Turns out I didn't enjoy it this much this time as much as I did before. Like, I guess the first time I read Ringworld, it's probably the third time I've read it, I can't even remember. But, you know, the first time I read it was like, hey, the second time I was like, and then this time I was like, nah. You know, so that was a bit of a pity. But for books that I'd read before and then reviewed for this, the average star rating, 3.8. Not bad.
No,
books that I'd read before but hadn't got around to doing it. Okay, so books that I reread for the Hugo Award. Oh no, that's what I just did. Okay, so the books that I'd read before and I read them for the Hugo Award for this as well. You know, so including books that I hadn't read before but I read for the Hugo Award, includes The Gods Themselves, 3.5. Isaac Asimov, there, you know, The Gods Themselves, not a bad book. There was also, what's this one here? Dream Snake. This is another bit. These are two books from, what's this, from 1980 and 1973. The classic science fiction. Dream Snake was one of the first books that I read, because I was looking through the Hugo Award winners list, and this Dream Snake came up. I was like, I've heard of all these other books. Dream Snake, not really. Don't no, really know anything about
of,
that.
I haven't even heard of that name
before. By Dreamsnake by Vonda and McIntyre. And I gave that one, what did I give it? Yeah, 4 stars. No, that's Fountains of Paradise. I gave it 3.5 stars because it was a good book. However, once we get onto other books, which I'd never read before, And then red just because of the Hugo Awards. We get to this. Forever Peace, Joe Haldeman, 1.5 stars. What's this one? No, let's go to the next one. Paladin of Souls by Lewis McMaster Bejold, 2 stars. Among Others by Joe Walton, 0.5 stars. And then we get these other books, which there's actually 4 books that I started reading, including that one, 4 books that I started reading just for this project. The only reason I was reading them was just for this Hugula project. 4 books out of 13 I didn't complete.
I was always there when you did this. Not completing the books.
Yeah.
Can you see like a time thing there? Like older books were better.
Well, no, I'm not saying older books were better.
Oh no,
I'm saying
older books you got better into and in like in the '80s books or the '90s books or even the newer books now.
No, what I'm saying is here there was 2 older books, Dream Snake and The Gods Themselves, which I read for the first time. Because of this project. And those were the oldest books, and those were the books that I enjoyed the most. Okay. Any books from, let's put it this way, 1993 Doomsday Book on, that I read for this project that I hadn't read before,
the
highest rating was 2 stars, and that was for Paladin of Souls.
And this started in 1993,
you know. So after Speaker for the Dead, all of those ones before are like, you know, except for Ringworld, but it's like 4 stars, 3.5 stars, 4.5 stars, you know, for Dune and Left Hand of Darkness, and these other ones are really highly rated. But then after that, it's a real drop-off. And I'm not saying the books after that are bad. For example, you know, I mean, I'm just looking through some of the other books that I'd read for this. Answer to Justice, 3.5 stars. Wind Up Girl, again, another Hugo Award winner. I gave that 4 stars. So there are some books there, like Wind Up Girl, like Answer to Justice, which, you know, hold up the same as the old books. And again, I'm not saying that they're bad books because they won this. I'm just saying that I think maybe the reasons that people started voting for them, the quality kind of dropped off a bit in the Hugo Awards. So let me put it this way. Books that I had only read for the Hugo that I'd not read before, including The Gods Themselves and including Dream Snake, let me put it this way. 9 books, an average of 1.4 stars.
That's quite telling.
That's quite low. And, like I say, 4 of those books I didn't complete. Let me put it this way. 2 of the books I didn't complete and I didn't give a rating to. So, for example, Yiddish Policeman's Union. So even if we say, okay, it wasn't 9 books that I rated, it was actually 7 books that I rated, still 1.8 stars. Okay, that is a lot of books that I didn't complete out of 9 books which I read for the first time for the Hugo Award. Like, out of 9 books, I didn't finish 4 of them, and the average star rating is 1.4 to 1.8 stars. In other words, that is a terrible
result.
It's an utter failure.
But why is that coming? These are all the books that you haven't read before, and you just read them for the Hugo.
Just for the Hugo Awards.
And do you think You didn't read them before because they weren't recommended or didn't seem appealing or you didn't know about them?
Yeah, some of it was that I just hadn't, like, for example, I've read a lot of Asimov, but The Gods Themselves just was a book which I just think just fell through the cracks. I just didn't know about it. I mean, yeah. I'd heard about it and I'd already seen it. I'd be like, oh, I'll get to that one day. You know, once you read so many books of an author, there's some you'll just go, well, I won't read them now. You know, they may be good, they may not be good, but I'll just get around to reading them in the future at some point, you know. Because sometimes when you read every single book by an author, you're like, oh, I don't know any books
sometimes,
left.
Sometimes
especially
you
if they're
get
dead.
A bit up with like that author and just go, yeah. Want to continue with something else.
Yeah, it's like reading the culture books. We're like,
yeah,
it's
you need a break from that.
You kind of go, oh, but you're like, there's never going to be a culture book that I've not read unless someone writes some fan fiction or something like that. You know, there's none of that left. There's no more culture for me to discover unless he wrote some short stories that I never discovered. You know, that is that kind of thing.
Okay.
And that's what you, so there's some authors which I'll be like, oh, they're dead. I'll always have some Isaac Asimov because he wrote a lot of short stories.
Yeah.
And he wrote a lot of novels and he did a lot of collaborations with other people, you know, and I'll get to some of it, you know, I'll get to more of it in the future. But that was it. So, and Dream Snake, I just never really heard of. All of these other books, I just, and actually that's a bit weird because those are 2 books which one of them I'd not heard of, and the other one was on my list of, like, I'll get to it someday. And I read them both, and I enjoyed them. But all of these other books, which were like, okay, I've heard of that, but it doesn't really appeal to me. The only reason I'd read that is because it won the awards.
Yes.
And of those books, like I'm saying, after Dream Snake and after, yeah, and after The Gods Themselves, we've got Doomsday Book, 0.1 stars. What's that one? Yeah, Forever Peace, 1.5. And actually, to be honest, I could have got to that because Forever War is a really good book. Forever Peace by Joe Hahnemann just started off great, but just turned horrible, you know. American Gods, I'd started reading that before and given up a few chapters in, and this time I got about halfway through
and then gave up again.
So, Doomsday Book, I did the same. I gave up a few chapters, and this time I tried it as well. But not only does Paladin of Souls only get 2 stars, I gave... what was it? The Curse of Chalion, 1 star, and that was the prequel to it. Well, not the prequel. Yeah. It was the first in that series, so I had to read another 1-star book to get through.
So, just for me to understand this list that you actually have here in front of you, are these all the Hugo Awards?
These are all the Hugo Awards.
Hugo Awards.
It's these ones, anyone that has Nebula next to it, you know, anyone
well,
that has anything.
It doesn't have Nebula next to it. It's
well,
like,
it's a long way. I understand this list.
You understand this list.
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me again how many books that were in total, like, all the, like, apart from you've read them before and reviewed them or not reviewed them, all the books, how many were they?
Okay, there's 26 books in total.
26, okay.
Of those books, when I started this project, I'd already reviewed 10 of them.
Okay, so there's 16...
There were 16 books that I read. No, it actually says here 13 books. I'm not quite sure. I don't know how maybe I miscounted some of them. Oh, no. Ah, yes, I see. Actually, yes. 10 of them I'd reviewed before, but there was 2 which I'd started and not finished. So Doomsday Book I'd started and not finished, and American Gods and that stuff like that. So there's 12 books that I'd kind of read since starting the SFBRP. Okay.
Yes, I see.
And then 14 books, which so 12 on one side and 14 books on the other side that I'd reread, you know. And like I say, 9 books that I read only for this. But that weirdly includes the books that I reread, you know, the Doomsday Book. And so I'm sorry that my numbers aren't very clear on this sheet. And that's a bit confusing for everyone listening in, but they don't need to know that. I'm just saying,
but this is 26 why I just books wanted in total. To bring it up again.
So 13 books. So for this project, between the end of April and the beginning of October, I read, or at least tried to read, 13 books, only completed 9 of those books.
Okay.
And only really enjoyed 2 of those books.
2 of those.
So out of 13 books... Not a great thing. In that time, I read another 7 books on top of that, plus other stuff as well, including Ian M. Banks, which I read for other reasons. I'd read it before. Matter, 4 stars. Alan Moore, Dave Gibbons, Watchmen, the comic, 4 stars. Guy Gavriel Kay, The Song for Our Bond, which I read because you were reading and really enjoyed it, 4 stars. Ian M. Banks, Surface Detail, 4.25 stars. John Stakely, Armour, 1.5 stars. Oh, not bad. Peter Watts, 4.5 stars. And then Orson Scott Card's Ender's Game, Shadow Alive movie stuff, which we watched the movie and enjoyed. I didn't give a rating for that. But I'm just saying, the books that I read in between these projects, like generally, I had a really good hit
very
rate.
Very much an up and down.
Like 5 out of 6 of them are 4 stars and above, and one of them was 1.5 stars. So again, it comes down to like the books that I'm reading just for my own pleasure and just because of recommendations or just because like someone said, oh, you should get to this, or because they're like Watchmen, it's a classic that I've never read before and read it not because it won any awards, because it didn't win. Oh, it might have won a Hugo Award. Actually, I don't know what it would win if it could win this award. It's a comic.
Yes.
But what could it win? I don't know. But I read it anyway and really enjoyed it. John Stakely was people said, oh, this is a classic of military science fiction. And I read it and I was like, yeah, maybe for 12-year-olds who don't have brains.
Okay.
I mean, but I'm not saying that. I mean, like, I used to enjoy Ringworld when I was a teenager. And,
well,
and now I realize it's
the taste
a troubled.
Changes a lot.
Taste changes. So anyway, all I can say is, as, you know, that first thing, like, will I find interesting books to read? Yes, 2 books are good. But 2 out of 9 is
a
really,
really good quota.
Really not a good quota. The other thing is, if a book has won an award, is that a good reason to read it? And I say no. I want to make this clear. If a book wins an award, it doesn't mean it's a bad. If it wins 2 awards, it doesn't mean it's worse. I'm saying there are lots of really good Hugo Award-winning books, like loads and loads of 4-star books, but I'd read them all before. Not because they were Hugo Awards, but just because they were good books.
And because you were interested in
reading
them. I was
interested in them enough. There was enough people saying, hey, this is a good book. A lot of these older books really stand up to the test of time. Like I say, Dream Snake, that's why I was like, hey, this this Dream Snake is among all books like, where is it? It's among Gateway, Fountains of Paradise, Forever War, Dispossessed, you know, Neuromancer, Startide Rising, all these other books which are generally still hold up. Well, Startide Rising a lot of people still don't like. But, you know, Ender's Game, it's in that, you know, it's in that order classic, of books, that list of yes. books, and it does hold up. So, yeah, early Hugo Awards, go for it. I don't think there's, except for like Ringworld, I don't think there's any bad earlier Hugo Awards. Read all of them, including Ringworld, because it's interesting. Stop at 1993 with Doomsday Book. Really, just don't go further.
But that is quite impressive. That is like there's a huge drop down in 1993.
I can't explain it. It's just maybe people were voting for other things. Why did Paladin of Souls win the Hugo Award? I can't imagine anything except people really like Lewis McMaster Bajor. Look, Vorgame won. Mirror Dance, Barrier. You know,
Barrier is really good. Yeah. I think it's.
There are some good books there. You know, she wins lots of these things. And when she put out a new book, and it was in a series, people really enjoyed the first book. No idea why. Curse of Chelyon.
And they will also buy the second.
And they bought the second book, and she won the Nebula One. And it's not a great book, but she's got a fan following. It's the same. I think it's the same with Neil Gaiman. People really enjoy that. And also, I think the Neil Gaiman and some of these other ones, when there's a more literary book comes out, people are like, okay, let's jump on board with that. There's Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, and The Wind-Up Girl, The City and the City, The Yiddish Policeman's Union, these are generally considered more kind of literary books, like kind of more worthy books.
Yeah. Well, what I noticed, especially when we were talking about the Yiddish Policeman Union book, is my impression of that was, why did this win two science fiction or fantasy awards, if that for me seemed to way more like a fiction book.
Yeah, straight fiction.
Like just maybe I don't know what kind of fiction, but just fiction and not so much science. And I think there are other books in there which I would not immediately say, oh yeah, this is science fiction and this is fantasy. How can that happen?
Again, it's just like I mentioned that in my review there, is that people, that, and that's what they do, they kind of hitch their bandwagon to a more literary book to kind of, I don't want to say like show off and enjoy that book, because I do think, you know, I do think The City in the City, I mean, I'm talking about that's just a Hugo Award winner, yeah. But you know, it was a little bit more, and The Wind-Up Girl were two kind of very much more literary books, you know, both of them could be read not in science fiction. I mean, if you pick them off the shelf and not the science fiction section and read them, they kind of still have that literary worth. And I think that, you know, I've not read Jonathan Strange and Mr. Noel by Susanna Clarke, but I don't hear that being discussed as a science fiction book. I just hear it being discussed as a very good fiction book.
Yes.
And, yes, and what was the Yiddish Policeman's Union? I mentioned that he had already won a Pulitzer Prize for his previous novel, and then he releases this novel, okay. And it's like people going, oh, well, he's got a Pulitzer Prize. Let's all read his book, because now he's done some, you know, alternate fiction
stuff.
Do you understand? Yes. Like it's like the award winningness or the literary credentials
once
of an author.
Once you're in that,
yeah, it kind of bleeds over into this other thing and
I
gives
understand.
It. But I'm not saying that's all.
That must
books.
Not be a bad thing.
But like I say, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire won in 2001. It won the Hugo Award. And again, I've not read it. I'm not saying it's a bad book, but I'm saying it probably won because Harry Potter was the big thing.
Because of all the others before.
Well, yeah, it had a fan following.
Yeah, if it's like a book winning that is a sequel, most of the time you can know that that book won not because it's a very good standalone by itself, suddenly in a series, and a great standalone book.
But that's why, was it Return of the King won an Oscar for Best Director? Was it Best Picture? I can't remember. It's like, oh, shit. Jackson's done all these great movies. We've got to give him an award. Quick, put him on. Yeah, give him an award now.
What's the latest movie? He did this one.
Let's give him that one. And sometimes you think, wasn't it the... Martin Scorsese got an Oscar as well, and he got it for The Departed. Not his best movie, but you can see people like, oh shit, he's done a really good movie. Just give him it for this, you know. We've got to award him. And again, I'm not saying that's all the time, but I'm just saying that again. It just shows that books don't win awards for quality, and an award is not a sign of quality. However, the final way that this project was could have been a success was, did I do some entertaining episodes? And I get from the feedback that, yes, some of these episodes were entertaining. People really enjoyed my Doomsday Book episode. And there were some others which people enjoyed. A lot of people got back to me about books which I didn't like, but they did like, and were like, ah, oh, I hadn't looked at it in that way. For example, the American Gods, that brought up a lot of discussion. Lots of people saying, oh, yeah, I really didn't like that book either. I should have stopped reading most of the way through. But a lot of people saying, oh, I liked it because of this. I liked it because of that, yeah. You know.
I really like it when books kind of start these kind of discussions, and when people... say, oh, I always thought it is from this point of view, and this is always my point of my approach to it. And then others say, oh, I never even thought about this. This, I really like this. And I also think that your listeners are really enjoying your in-depth rants about like when you really go into something and explain why you didn't like it, and with a Doomsday Book, why I was sitting right next to you there, it was quite impressive.
Yeah, did you join me on that episode?
Yes.
You were there, and of course I went off on one without
exactly.
you.
Exactly. But the good thing is, you know what? Just today you were finishing, or listening to a new audiobook, not from the Hugeler series.
Yes, I'm free of the Hugeler.
The first time I heard you, oh, I'm enjoying this book.
It's really good.
I want to get the second now, and it's not available.
Yeah, Jeff Vandermeer, Annihilation. It's the Southern Reach trilogy, part one. He released three, like, quite short novels, but released three novels in 1 year. Like, one in March, one in June, and one in September. A friend of mine said, hey, this is the best new books that I've read this year. You should check it out. And she hasn't read the third one yet, because it just comes out, and she's waiting for it to come out as an audiobook as well. So I just started listening to this audiobook, like, was it last night or this morning?
I
can't remember. And I'm only halfway through it, and I'm like, this is great. I'm just getting back to books, not because they've won awards. I'm just getting back to books because it's a good book. I've never really read Jeff Vandermeer before.
So what would you say, like, then, I mean, like, after that project now, figuring out, okay, going after two awards and finding out the books who won them both, what is the best way of getting to finding new books and finding new things that you probably like?
Like, as a guide of how to get into it?
Yes, exactly.
Well, I mean... I think it always comes down to find someone whose opinion you respect. And I don't mean someone whose opinion you always agree with. It's really someone who you know their taste. And once you know their taste, if they say they like the movie or book or comic or anything like that, you know it's probably going to have something of worth there. Even if you don't enjoy it, you understand what's
so
worthy
you mean,
about
like, a closer... a closer kind of measurement for like for you to know if you know the taste of that person well, you can figure out where in a chart
it's not just if they like it, it's a good movie. I'm saying that if they think it's a good, say, let's stick with books, okay? So if I think a book is good and I can explain what I like about that book, if you read it and you don't enjoy it, you're still getting something which you think is, that you can trust has worth to it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Even if it's not a subjectively enjoyable experience, you know that there's enough in there to do it. But there are some books which I really like. For example, that previous Peter F. Hamilton book, it's a really long, Great North Road. It's really long, and I actually said, a big part of why I like this is because there's some fun police procedural stuff at the beginning, and it's a murder mystery, and they're trying to track down the movements of a dead body, and it just so happens to all be taking place.
Is that where you lived?
Yeah, in a city where I lived, and where there's this major plot point, I drove down, and there's like, oh, there was this old yard here and this thing. I was like, yes, when my car was broken into and I needed the window fixed, I took it to that road to get it repaired. And then when the clutch broke and I just wanted to get rid of it, I took it to a different place to abandon it. Well, not to abandon it, but I took it to a scrapyard on that road. And then one of the major plot points in the book is them driving down that road and going, oh, it's different than the map. We were following in the map, but there's like a gap in a fence here or something like that. It was like, there's a gap in the fence. And I'm like, I know there's gaps in the fence there because I've been on that road, and what they're doing, car troubles, is would I have a personal connection to car troubles when I lived in that city? Now, and I made it very clear, that's why I actually thought that this part of the book, which is probably a bit too long, I still enjoyed it. And it's that kind of thing that I could, I mean, sometimes you don't want to listen to an hour-long review of a book before you start it. But Peter F. Hamilton, he'll write a book. I mean, that came in, that had two Audible credits. It was like a 50-hour audiobook.
His books are always massive.
Massive books, as you know, because you're just finishing up Pandora Star. So in that way, you're thinking, shall I read this book by Peter F. Hamilton? It's okay to listen to an hour or 45-minute review by me to know, because the amount of investment that you get, time investment and effort investment you're going to put into reading that. So when I say I didn't get more than, I mean, literally, I only downloaded the Kindle sample of Doomsday Book. No, not Doomsday Book. What was it? Blackout and All Clear by Connie Willis. Mm. And I said everything that I didn't like about Doomsday Book was wrapped up in the first chapter. And then the first three paragraphs of the second chapter explained to me what the entire book was going to be about. And then I read other people's reviews, like,
and
after I did the podcast.
Exactly,
and I read other people's reviews. I was like, yep. And no, it wasn't before the podcast. Because normally I read on Goodreads, I'll read other people's reviews. I'll read sort of like just a quick overview of my friends' reviews, you know, at the beginning. But often once I finish my review, I'll dig in deep into some other people's reviews. But that time I did it beforehand just so I, you know,
of course,
knew.
So you had something to talk about.
Yeah, I had a bit more to talk about. And I shared another guy's review.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I think that comes down to it. I mean, I like reviews, but like other like when I'm looking for books, I really just enjoy listening to the SFF Audio podcasts, new releases and latest arrivals and new releases. And they talk about new audiobooks that have come out, and I get lots of recommendations, or, you know, I file things away in my brain. Lots of people whose opinions I like listeners, you know, people who send me recommendations. There's a thread on the SFBRP listener group on goodreads.com where people say, you should read this book. And people say, yes, you should. And other people go, I'm not sure you should. And other people say, hey, at least it'll be a good rant. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do another rant. I've done enough rants
enough
this year.
Enough rants now.
And also some and other podcasts like the Incomparable podcast. I like listening to their book discussions. They actually reviewed Ancillary Justice. That was mentioned. One of the guys, I can't remember which of the guys on there, said, oh, that was my favorite book that I read in 2013. So I was like, okay, I will read it. And I did at the beginning of 2014. That was one of the reasons why I did it. And again, I didn't agree with all of their reviews of that, but
yeah. And I actually read about it on iBooks, the thing as well.
Well, Ancillary Justice.
I thought it sounds pretty good.
It is pretty good. I mean, it's not great. It's good for two thirds of it. I really enjoyed it. And the last third was just like, and I was like, oh, it was going so well.
Well, for me, it's really difficult because, of course, I trust when you give me a recommendation of a book, I will start it and I will try to get into it. And but for example, like with Blindside now, it's this really, I know that is a good book and I know that it's very well written and stuff.
Yeah.
But
Necropraxia is better.
And then it's the question of personal enjoyment.
Yeah.
And what I always do, I just go on these. I don't know, iBooks, Kindle, or
the top lists.
Top list, and then go through and just try to discover new things that I haven't heard of before. And maybe you haven't heard of before either.
Yeah.
So I can read something, try something out, and then maybe tell you, hey, I found this new book. You should read it. This is always my challenge because there's not many books that I can recommend to you which you haven't read, at least not in science fiction.
Yeah, but there's some fun fantasy books and some detective-y books that you like. What's the one that you read at the moment? Is it
Mr. Penumbra's 24 Hours Bookshop?
Who by?
I always forget the author.
Okay,
Sloan.
But is it science fiction? Is it turning?
Not sure yet.
Still not sure.
I'm halfway through. Okay. I don't know. I'm not. It's a lot about Google.
I'm just looking here as well. Other podcasts I like. There's Reading Envy podcast, which is new with Jenny and Scott, who you might know from the SFF Audio podcast as well. Movies, there's the Mark Kermode and Simon Mayo film reviews. That's pretty much the only movie podcast I listen to. Oh no, there's another one here I just remembered. Let me go. Not Playing with Lex and Dan, that's another Incomparable podcast where they watch a movie that one of them hasn't seen before. Anyway, I think that pretty much wraps it up.
Yeah.
Failure at finding new good stuff to read, which I wouldn't read anyway or haven't read before anyway. Like I say, 2 out of 9 books, 4 I didn't finish, 2 that I actually enjoyed, And how many does that lead? You know, like five, no, three, which you know, yeah, not great. So that wasn't good.
Good is checking out the earlier winning, yeah, early
Hugo Awards. Go for it. Stop at Doomsday Book. And then just read Wind Up Girl anyway, because it's a good book. Read Ancillary Justice anyway, because it's an interesting new book, and you can talk to everyone else who's read it now, because it's just won this year, you know.
Yeah.
So that's good. And yeah, so for good, interesting, what was I going to say? Interesting SFBRP episodes. I think that kind of worked out. However, I did have to start and not finish quite a few books and read books that I just didn't enjoy very much. And I say, on top of those 9 books, there was also The Curse of Caelion, which I hated. It was so bad that you stopped listening. I'm like, no, I'm going to push through to the end. The Paladin of Souls wasn't as bad. I think I gave that 2 stars instead of 1 star. But
it was slightly better.
Yeah. And what was the other thing? Yeah. Are awards a good sign of what to read? Turns out, no. It's not like I was saying, you know, I want to not like these books, you know, just because they won the things. It's not like at all. It's just that these were books that I didn't want to do anyway. But it kind of validates my view that these awards aren't worth paying attention to. Never read a book because it won the Hugo Award. Never won a book because it won the Hugo or just the Nebula Award. You know, either or. Read the book because you want to read it. Read the book because there's personal recommendations from people that you trust. Read the book because you think it sounds interesting or you think it's historically important to read the book. And also, most importantly, if you start reading it and you don't enjoy it, don't feel like you've got to finish it. Don't try and get all the way through, even Joe Walton's, among others. Not a bad book, just really not for me. Like, I can understand why people...
Why should every book be something we have to enjoy? No, yeah. this is not how it goes. Books are very individual.
Yeah.
As individual as the people writing them. So,
and the individual as the people reading them. Yes, you know, people bring their own stuff to the books. So, yeah, I think now, from now on, I can ignore any mention of Hugo Awards and any mention of Nebula Awards. I think that I've put in the time over this summer, these 9 books that I've read that I'd not read before. I mean, the books that I were rereading, you know, I actually quite enjoyed rereading, but I'd probably got around to rereading them anyway at some point, you know, because if they're good books, I'll get around to it.
If not so, at least maybe with me, me starting reading it. And then...
Yeah. I mean, like, for example, Speaker for the Dead, that was on our list of books that we wanted to read together anyway.
Yes.
Because I thought you would enjoy it. And did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Quite
good book.
Entertaining.
So I think, yeah, I've put in the work, and now I can, from now on, ignore. So any time in the future that I mention either a Hugo Award or a Nebula Award or anything like that, just send me an email and say, oi, stop it, which is good. Saying that, I got this one book called, let me just go across here to Audible. I downloaded this book that someone actually said, they said, hey, you should read this book. This is a Hugo Award book. And I was like, no, it's not. Beggars in Spain by Nancy Kress. There was a novella version written which won, was a Hugo Award in the novella section or the short story section or something like that.
Oh, so they have a separate section.
Yeah, there's short stories, novella, novelette, and Hugo. So there's like 4 different lengths.
Novelette.
Yeah, it's like between 20,000 and 40,000 words. Oh, you know, God. Sort of like under 100 pages is what you're looking at. Okay. Something under 100 pages, but isn't quite a short story, you know.
Okay.
And isn't maybe an accomplished. So yeah, so anyway, Beggars in Spain was a short story, a Hugo award-winning short story, which is expanded out into a novel. So I've got that to listen to.
So that what you reviewed were just novels?
Just the Hugo novels.
Okay.
A novel which won both stories, although some of them started off as a short story collection, like, you know, I can't remember, but there was a few of them which was like 3 short stories published separately, collected together into a novel. Yeah, like The Gods Themselves by Isaac Asimov was that kind of thing. So that's it for me. I'm gonna give this reading experience 2.5 stars for the summer. What do you think, Juliana? How do you think I did with this rereading project?
I think two stars for me, for my personal enjoyment sitting next to you or being in your life and you telling me about the terrible novel that you just read and you just can't finish it.
Just moaning at stuff.
Yeah, you were more moaning than you were before, ever before, about several books. But
I went through this span with the science fiction. I mean, look at this. There's this episode list here. So go to SFBRP patreon.com/episode-lists, and you get to this page. And there was this whole section last year where I was just reading. Was it last year? Oh no, I need to scroll forward. But yeah, like last year, I was like, you know, Darwin Elevator, Accession, Cloud Atlas, The Martian, Use of Weapons, On the Steel Breed, Exodus Town, you know, Canticle for Leibowitz, Plague Force, Ancillary Justice, Inverted World, Way Station, State of the Art, Flowers for Algernon, House Space, all of these books are like 3 stars or above. Like there was no rotten ones for like a really long time from Red Screen, like from episode 207 all the way up to I don't know, all the way up to say like Ian M. Banks' Inversions, and then I read Dust, and then a book that didn't exist, We Have Seen Better Days. But then I got into this, and suddenly there was like this, it was so variable. All of the books, like I say, are just going up and down again. And I think by cutting these out of my life, I can just get back to books that I really love and authors that I really like, yeah. And books which I'm reading because I'm really interested in reading them because they've been recommended to me by SFBRP listeners or friends or other things.
And so, get to more of a natural up and down make. Yep.
So that's enough, I think. Email me, luke@juggler.net. I do reply to every email. Become my friend and Juliana's friend on goodreads.com, so you can follow along with what we're reading and send us book suggestions, and also join up with the SFBRP listener group there. We outsource our community, online community, to Goodreads, which is an easy way of doing it. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.